Think any man God made, you know what I mean? And not only that, I'll whoop God as well.
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I never drink.
I'll tell you some booze at parties.
I never drink.
You're mad backwards.
In my foresight, ever since Conor, he declared like he's a god.
If Allah wants, we're gonna win this fight. You know, when Allah with you, when Allah with you, nobody can stop you.
Know?
No Irish team, no Irish whiskey, nobody can stop you.
And if Allah's with me, it ain't no way no man can win. No way.
This is the Dean.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing? So we got Conor McGregor and we got Khabib from Dagestan, who they're going to be fighting.
Yes.
And let's see if we can derive some benefits. And I want people to, after listening to us, to really not just stand behind a fighter because maybe he throws a good hook or maybe he's got a good takedown, but why don't we get into some of the things that they represent?
Sure.
That's very important. It's very important what you bring to the table. Okay, I bring it to the table a left hook. This one brings to the table some tremendous great takedowns, but what's behind that? What does the person stand for? And let's see what the people, after we kind of dissect this, let's see who they're going to feel like they, or what the person represents, they'll be more inclined to. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
Yeah?
Yep.
Who do you want to start with?
I think the easiest one to start with is Conor McGregor. And he's, you know, he's got, I say, a bigger following in the States and in the West, and he's the money fighter, right? He just got off the fight with Floyd Mayweather, and he's bought a lot of that traction over with him to the UFC again. He's got his own brand of whiskey now being promoted in the UFC, and he's going to be making the most amount of money any UFC fighter will, so I think that's the easy choice.
Let's start with that. Let's start with, because many people there, they get that, what we were talking about, that dopamine
fix,
right? They watch him with the lewd behavior and really getting rowdy not thinking about, okay, what does this represent? So I want people who have had, let's say, a separation in the family, many people now skyrocketing, staggering statistics of broken homes due to alcoholism, rapes. It's happening every like 60, 70 seconds, something like that.
Drunk driving.
We're not talking about even what you just mentioned. Basically, they're saying WHO, the World Health Organization, estimates that there is one death every 10 seconds due to
alcohol.
Can you imagine that?
I think what's more important is that, okay, fine, the WHO mentioned the deaths, but what was the recent study that came out? What is the, about zero benefit? Or
Yeah, there's a study.
If you're a drinker, we hate to be the ones to break some sobering news to you, but a major new study says no amount of alcohol is good for your overall health, not even that cheeky glass of red wine you might be holding as we speak on a Friday evening. A survey in the Lancet Medical Journal says the overall risk of liquor outweighs any known benefit. It says alcohol accounted for nearly 1 in 10 deaths in people between the ages of 15 and 49. That data was recorded in 2016. Across all age groups, alcohol was associated with 2.8 million deaths that year.
Before I mention that, okay, so what we're trying to do here is for someone who's had, because all of these things are in the backbone, because you might not have committed the direct crime, but if you're somehow, you're complicit in it, you're helping to facilitate something that's alcohol, obviously, and this is one of the things, that the major thing that you get when, now because Conor is promoting his brand of alcohol beyond the fight. So now I mentioned rape, I've mentioned what else,
breakups of family,
deaths, all of these things. Think of the worst things, and someone in one way or another has been affected, their family has somehow been touched by alcohol.
My name is Jacqueline Saborido. This is a picture of me before I was hit by a drunk driver, before the car caught fire, before two of my friends died, before I needed more than 40 operations. This is me when my life was just like anyone else in college. This is me after being hit by a drunk driver.
I grew up with a friend, and I won't mention his name, but we were in middle school and grade school, and his father was an alcoholic, and I was there on some occasions when the family would have problems and fights, and it definitely had a huge detrimental effect on the family, But what was unfortunate is that the son wound up being an alcoholic as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just think about it from that perspective.
Copying his father.
So the father was responsible for breaking or damaging the family structure, but now, indirectly or directly, the son is following in the footsteps. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but this is why it's even important to talk about social media, like you mentioned, the dopamine release, media in general, and what values are we putting forth through these avenues and means.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is what? You know, our phone is right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us got our phones. All of us have instant access. All of us are living on social media and living on the internet. What is it that we are exposed to at a high rate? And we have to draw a parable. Why is it that Conor McGregor's alcohol brand is a co-sponsor? It's because it brings in money. Well, why does it bring in money? Because alcohol sales are important, right? And it's not like they're putting the quotes of very noble and pious men on the ring, or they're putting quotes of the founding fathers of the country, or they're putting quotes of, you know, just scientists or whatever have you. They're putting sponsors on there. And the sponsors are those who can bring the most value or give you the most money. So what is it that we are really pushing down people's throat? And I think that's where we should focus.
This is very important that you guys sit through this episode, because you don't see anyone. You'll turn into all the commentators and they're talking about who has the advantage technically and what's going to happen. But nobody's talking about the moral dilemma here, the moral responsibility. This, what we're talking about, I challenge you to sit through it and really think, because this is something that now is having a great impact on what we just talked about, the son, the father, the son imitating the father. This is happening rampant in our society. And when you look at Conor McGregor, and now you're just blindly following him, and now you're with his brand, and you're from there, you know, imitating not only his speech, his patterns, and just what's the end result? You have to look at the extreme. What's he bringing to the table that you're going to leave with at the end? That's what
sure.
People aren't looking beyond the feel good or the entertainment.
You know, the thing is, look, this is a culture and a time of instant gratification, right? So the part about social media is this: you jump on Facebook, you jump on Instagram, you jump on the internet, on YouTube, because you're looking for that instant pleasure. So now it's so easy to fix that fix. You have a craving, you just jump on the internet. You want to be entertained, you just jump on the internet. You want to be aroused, you jump on the internet. Whatever you want, you can find it on the internet, right? Now, what's the problem with that? The problem is, it's hard to turn that off. And what is the science showing? What does the science show? The science is showing that it's rewiring the brains, right? So, one example that I studied when I was in this group called Academy M, it's a millennial mentorship group, is that millennials are looking for gratification right away. Right, so once they take a nice selfie or they have a unique post, they put it out there, and if people respond as they want, they get that release of dopamine, right? And if people don't respond the way they want, it's the exact opposite: depression, sadness. You don't feel like you're validated. So now we have someone who is a millennial. Conor McGregor is a millennial, so he displays many millennial tendencies. So how has he made his bread and butter? Sure, he's a fighter, but there's plenty of great fighters out there, right? Why is he paid towards the highest? How did he get that fight with Floyd Mayweather? Was he literally the best UFC fighter to fight Floyd? Probably not, right? He's a good striker, but he did a great job at self-promotion, talking about himself, bigging himself up. What is the problem that we have with the youth and social media right now? And this is official data. In a normal conversation like this, the data shows that a person will refer to themselves or talk about their own experience 30 to 40% of the time. But when they're on the internet or they're on social media, they're talking about themselves 80 to 90% of the time. 80 to 90%. So now we've gone from 30 to 40% in a conversation like this to 80 to 90% on the internet. So now, how do we connect these two things? Okay, I see, as someone who's young, I see Conor McGregor. He's made it, right? In terms of the dunya, he's made it. He's known, people love him, people respect him, he's a good fighter. People want to get his brand of clothing, his brand of alcohol, the Mac Life on YouTube, people are subscribed to it. But how has he made it? He's made it by talking about himself. So now if I'm a fan, I say, okay, I got to talk about myself. But what are some of the other things that I got to do? He's violent. I got to act violent. He's a bit outlandish. Maybe I have to act outlandish. So
a bit. I think that's an understatement. So you have let's go to that study.
Sure.
So the study you're talking about, I believe it was in The Lancet. It talks about that no amount of alcohol is good for the human health. You had this common saying that a glass of wine, alcohol in moderation, this was something that people were commonly known to say. And this would motivate even the person that was kind of like health conscious. Then he would read this in Men's Magazine. But all of this stuff was funded by the alcohol industry.
Right.
So this new study is giving the facts that no amount of alcohol. Not only that, now, when we look at, so this is the one thing we're hitting first. We covered a few other points about the lewdness and the disrespect and the behavior. But this is so important because I don't think there's many people that haven't been touched by the direct or somehow indirect consequence of alcoholism, what alcohol brings to the table. And we talked about that one death every second. I mean, this is by who? The World Health Organization talks about there's one death due to alcohol every 10 seconds. There worldwide, 3.3 million people die each year. This is more than the combination of AIDS, they say tuberculosis, and violence. Can you imagine that?
It's not surprising.
This is how many people are dying. For many people, they are. This is the first time they're hearing this. But this is just like, can you imagine every 10 seconds? Let me give you some more. Look, they're close to over 40% of the traffic deaths from. Again, now this is the range of the kids that are watching him. Let's say from 16 to 20, some of the young kids, their minds, their bodies are developing. And now he's promoting the alcohol. And almost 40% of deaths in this range is from this peer group. Let me give you another one. It's alcohol is, they say, the third leading cause of death. And now what does it have on the economy? And I'm just giving you some snippets. But when people go down this and they start really looking into it, in 2010, they estimated around $250 billion in America suffered to misuse of alcohol.
Look, I think the summary for all this is what he is not a role model, right? And we have to bring that into perspective. At the end of the day, he can do whatever he wants, and everyone is judged based on their actions, right? What you reap is what you sow. But the point is, why is it that we are turning to people like him as a role model? So number one, something we have to make clear to the youth is he is not a role model in no shape of the matter, right? We cannot turn to someone like this and say, okay, this is, for example, if I were to do or you were to do what Conor McGregor has done, we'd probably be in jail.
Let's talk about that next. So we brought alcohol to the table.
Right.
Now contrast that we try to Khabib. Let's bring Khabib into the mix.
Yeah.
He was offered, Conor tried to offer Khabib some alcohol.
Right.
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I don't drink.
Why don't you drink?
I never drink.
I'll tell you, some booze at parties.
I never drink.
You're mad backwards.
And then Khabib said, I don't drink, never drank. And this is due to Islam.
And then he called him backwards for that.
And then he called him backwards. Right. But then we just debunked that because you see, I mean, is it backwards because you're trying to save lives? And all these are preventable deaths.
Right. Well, you're also trying to make money. You're also trying to live the high life. And you're also trying to get the most following on social media. And you're also trying to get a stake in the UFC. And it depends. What are your goals? What are your values?
It reminds me of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, cursed is the one, the worshiper of the dollar, of the dinar, of the money.
Mm.
So a person like this, I mean, if you want to get, because the Conor McGregor, he went from claiming that he's a god next to God.
Me and Jesus are cool. I'm cool with all the gods. Gods recognize gods.
Me versus Jesus in the earth. I tell you what, there's not a man alive that can beat me. But Jesus ain't alive, is he? So I don't f***ing know. Maybe he could come back from the dead. Not, I don't know. I'd still whoop.
I was going to get it regardless, sooner or later. It's coming. With or without you.
And then the God came and blessed you with it.
Yeah, right.
Now about that coffee.
Any man God made, you know what I mean? And not only that, I'll whoop God as well.
We talked about this, we did a show. So any person who, A, is a Christian, and Catholics are predominantly in that area in where Ireland are right. Catholic, right?
They're both, yeah.
They're both.
Yeah.
So you would think, wow, he's claiming to be a god. We did a show on this, and it's interesting that then he kind of backed off, and now he started to become a Christian, seemed like a devout Christian, well, semi.
According to the press conference.
But again, if you are a Christian and you stand on some morals, or a Jew or anything, you wouldn't really want to be backing someone like this.
Me versus Jesus in the earth. I tell you what, there's not a man alive that can beat me. But Jesus ain't alive, is he? So I don't f***ing know. Maybe he could come back from the dead. Not, I don't know. I'd still whoop
any man God made, you know what I mean? And not only that, I'll whoop God as well.
You brought up a good point about the press conference, and I'll touch upon it lightly. So let me be very honest. I don't have an outright hate for Conor McGregor. I don't.
I don't either. I don't.
I do think he's a superior athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were just to tone it down a little bit, I think, you know, he'd even be entertaining and whatnot. One of the things that I had a problem with, and you gave the example in the beginning, was after that first press conference, nobody really criticized some of the things that he did or said. Some people brought it up lightly, right? Dana White even said it was dark. But I think people should have gone a little bit more deeper than that. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, and if this was, say, a foreigner, and a foreigner from an eastern more part of the world, I think people would have been more critical. But one thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was, you know, as Muslims, we're not supposed to mock other people's religions. This is very clear, right?
Yes.
We're not supposed to mock other people's conceptions of God and other religions. And I think, you know, one way of putting that is common sense. You don't want to offend and talk about things that people hold near and dear. Habib's coach, I think Javier Mendez, he actually was interviewed and he said, look, I teach my fighters, don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics, don't talk about family. Conor talked about religion, he talked about politics, and he talked about family. Now, Javier is not a Muslim, but a lot of these principles, they transcend religion, right? A lot of us have the same values, and rightfully so. But my issue was, he talked about religion, he talked about his father, he talked about him.
In a disrespectful way.
He talked about his culture, all these things in an overtly disrespectful way. So my point is, yes, you have to promote the fights, I get it. The more you promote the fights, the more money you make. But like you said, are we going to be slaves to the dollar, right? But the bigger issue is, when the youth are watching, when the younger generation are watching, these empty vessels, these sponges, and they live on the internet. Say your parents are at work all day. You have your phone, you have your tablet, you can access whatever you want. Now, you might not even look for this, but because it's trending, you'll see it. And you'll see this guy who's dressed nice, he's sharp, he's got a nice car, he's got money, he's got people following him, he's got a crowd supporting him. You know, it's alluring. Even someone like myself, I'll be very honest. For a while, I was hooked on watching a lot of Conor McGregor videos. It is almost like a drug. We brought that up in the beginning, right? You get hooked. You have to kind of live on social media. But if you don't pull yourself out and realize what damage that can do to you, I mean, for all that we know, some of this may be acting on his part, right? He may be a very swell guy, but he knows that I have to promote my fight, so let me act in a way that people will buy in.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question is, what are the detrimental effects for this?
I like what you said. This is not something personal against the individual himself. We did a program that we sent a message to Conor, and even talking about how he can get the edge. And then when you look at the message we sent, it's somewhat out of love and concern, especially for what you talk about the youth. Now, this is really important. We talked about the alcohol, the disrespect to the elders. I mean, imagine, okay, you let your kid go on without any restrictions following someone like him. And now, next thing you know, as he does, like, come get a close-up of my brand and says, and F you, that's these F-bombs coming out. And now the father is trying to have a relationship with his son. And you know how kids nowadays can get really crazy. And now you have this as a role model. He's like, F you, dad. He's doing Conor McGregor syndrome.
He's got this,
or the effect. And he's just like F-bombs to his mother, to his father. And that's what's going to happen. And then he's throwing down with his whiskey brand. What else we got? Breaking the law. That's another thing.
Mm.
When you come off, okay, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But now you come into the United States, and I talked about this also, I believe, with Bilal Muhammad. And I said, what if this was Bilal Muhammad, the other UFC guy, brother, very nice brother. He ended up doing that. He said, man, he would have been in jail. He would have been, you know, when he threw the
bat.
Okay, so you made the mistake, but now you come in and show no respect to the law. to the people that you hurt, and now you're using that
in the promotional material.
In the promotional material, with no regret now.
He said, you know, in the again, some of it, if the implications were not so serious, you could really just sit back and laugh at it, right? But they're serious. Basically, when he referred to the window of the bus, he said, and I smashed that window, and then he crossed himself and he said, God rest its soul.
Yeah.
But for me, that's like making a mockery of what happened. Now, for the legal aspect is one part of it. But for me, again, let's take it back to society. Let's take it back to the youth, to the children.
That's what you really keep stressing. This is very important.
Because it's important.
Because you can maybe decipher it, but the young, what you're saying, they...
You and I are older, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was listening to a very good podcast earlier about social media, and the woman was talking about, she's been on technology since birth, but she remembers a time where there was a disconnect. So because she had that experience without being with tech, she knows how to use it. So now these kids who grow up with technology and social media, this is what they see. And this is what gets the hits and the ratings, and it becomes viral. Now, what's the issue with this? Okay, how did... Now, his friend Artem, which is important to mention, his friend Artem called Habib a certain word, right, which was disrespectful. And then Habib kind of found him in a corridor and slapped him up a little bit. Now, I'm not vouching for either side, right? We're not going to say one was right and one was wrong. But look, there was a reaction. There was an initial action and then a reaction. But what did Connor do? As soon as he found out about it, he got his boys on a private jet. They flew over here and they looked for revenge, right? The question is, if you're teaching someone from the society how to deal with their problems. Like I gave you the example earlier. Say a friend of yours, say me, you know, I call you, I say, Eddie, I called this guy the B word, and then he saw me and he slapped me up. The priority that you should emphasize is advising me, not backing me up and saying, okay, let's get that guy. Because who was the one that made the fault? It was me. I shouldn't have cursed at the guy, right? So what is it that we're teaching the young generation? Is it that, okay, if something like this happens, you got to get your boys and go handle business? If you go handle business, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to wind up in jail.
Yeah. So this is all of the things we talked about, that this is what Connor brings to the table. He brings, can we say, a lot of arrogance?
Sure.
Lewd behavior?
Sure.
Irresponsible behavior? Reckless behavior? Again, this is not an attack on him personally as a person, but this is the behavior that now we're asking you to think about as a Christian, a Jew, as even an atheist that has some good manners, some morals, and wants the best for his children, his family, and society, because it's a trickle-down effect. If everyone starts mimicking people like this, and they stop mimicking Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, these men never did those things. These are our examples. So now let's get into Habib, because this is what Connor brings to the table. All of the some of the most foul and dirty and unethical, immoral things to the table. Now, he's a great fighter, but this is also the baggage he brings.
Sure.
But let's bring Habib. He's not perfect. He's now someone who's stated that.
Some things I want to say, like, nobody in religion is like in Muslims, nobody's perfect. But religion, like Islam, is perfect. I want to say it like this.
But the way of life that he follows is perfect, Islam. So what does he bring to the table? Let's talk about that. One of the things is that if your kids follow him, they won't drink. He's following Prophet Muhammad, his example. So he doesn't... He shouldn't be. I don't see him cursing much at all. But if he does, his entourage or anything, this is something that we ask the Muslims. We ask people who are watching. This is one of the benefits of doing this show, because some people, you have to get involved with what's going on in the culture, because you can't get a lot of people's attention in any other way. Mm. So we want to derive the good from this. And this is one of the points that's very important, that no believer who believes in the Creator, who follows this way of life, who praises the Creator with his tongue, should be uttering. We all make mistakes. There's those times you slip up, you make mistakes. Okay, but it shouldn't be a part of your vocabulary that is naturally you're throwing out F-bombs.
Look, so there's that religious principle, right? About lewd behavior, about obscenities, about using foul language, right? We have it in the Quran and in the Hadith that we're not supposed to use this. Now, let's just make it very simple. Whether someone is Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, atheist, it doesn't matter. Most people probably have a consensus that foul language and obscenities are something that bother most people, right? So if I go to an atheist or a Jew or a Christian and I swear at them, I drop an F-bomb and I curse their parents, even though they're not Muslim, they're probably going to have an issue with that. So a lot of these things are very commonsensical, right? We don't do these things because they offend people. Like one thing that we brought up earlier, We're not supposed to mock other people's religions. But you had him kind of indirectly mocking Habib's religion, right? So as it seemed. But a lot of these principles are there because they make sense. And Islam for me, again, is about tranquility, mm-hmm. living in peace. We're trying to live peaceful lives. We're not trying to upset the balance. You see, Habib, again, not perfect. He has his problems, right? But he brings a lot of good to the table, and that cannot be denied. Even to the extent that even guys like Joe Rogan, who I think is an agnostic or an atheist, and a lot of these other guys comment on his level of devoutness and the fact that he seems even keel, he seems non-emotional, he's as cold as ice in a good way, right? He's not very reactionary. So
yeah, and these are good program because you get some of these fighters who tune in, and again, we're all works in progress. So maybe they didn't get this information, and maybe someone will stop with the also as a Muslim with that lewd behavior, because no Muslim should be cursing. No Muslim should be acting in the gangster. This whole idea, you hear these, this gangster. Gangster equals, you could say, what jahil means. Jahil, someone who's ignorant, who doesn't have deen. When you have deen, you're not a gangster. You're trying to, was the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, a gangster? No, so you are imitating the best of mankind, who was sent as a mercy to mankind. He was not a gangster. Some of his sahaba were gangsters. Mm-hmm. Then they accepted Islam and they became the best of mankind. So we're trying to get away from the gangster life. That doesn't mean now you're a coward, you don't stand up for certain morals, principles, and you defend yourself and you're a man's man. That's different. But going around and spreading this, because we know the connotations now when you say gangster, what do the young minds think?
Look, like we mentioned earlier, right? This word gangster, and what is the connotation? We've made the word cool, right? And it's been cool for maybe God knows how long, at least since the 90s, right? But the word gangster, you hear it in movies, you hear it in music, you hear it in TV. Man, that guy's a gangster, man. Did you see how he reacted? He's a gangster. We've connected that with someone being, straight to the point, authentic, taking care of business. But you can do those things without being a gangster, right? Without being in your face, without cursing people, without disrespecting people. So again, the point is, who controls the meaning of these words? What do they really mean? What influence do these words have on the youth? And when our youth do watch these things and they hear these words, and again, what do we want them imitating? So if you use an example of school, you're going to want your son or your daughter to imitate the A student, right? You're not going to want them to imitate the D or the F or even the C student. That's clear to most people.
Yeah.
You see someone with good study habits or good work habits. Someone, he's punctual. He gets to work on time. She gets to work on time. They leave on time. They put in their all. You're going to say, no, be like that person. Don't be like the person who takes 2-hour lunches. But then when it comes to this, it's like people have a dilemma. They don't know. Yeah. Should I be like the guy who's been in jail and who's mm-hmm. promoting, vices and promoting getting 40, 50 guys on a plane, coming over, attacking someone? Or should I be like someone who's a little bit more even keel? And again, we don't believe in hero worship, right? So the point is not to Habib is the role model and we're following Habib only, and Connor's the role model and we're following. No. It's what are the principles? What are the values? Yeah. Whoever prescribes to the principles and values, we're cool with, right? So if Connor prescribes to the principles and values, uh-huh. we're cool with it.
And I think the only reason what caught my heart is when I saw someone making sajda. And this connected me, and I'm sure all those people who came to visit, there's a clip, and you'll see Habib, and we are behind him when he is calling people to the Creator. He says, be humble. And this is what the deen, this is for all of humanity. Be humble.
If Allah wants, we're going to win this fight. No. When Allah with you, nobody can stop you.
Ameen.
No Irish team, no Irish whiskey, nobody can stop you. This is impossible, brother. Number one important, most important for us, stay connect with God. Because without this, like money, family, nothing give you like you have connect with God, Like, even doesn't matter what happened with you, what's like, you always have to pray, you always have to stay humble and stay focused and stay connect with God. This is very important for us.
Amen.
This is you, UFC champion or not, doesn't matter.
As opposed to now, Connor, be arrogant. Would you want your child to be humble? Humble? That's what he brings right. to the table. Be humble. We will all love our children to be in front of, be humble to their parents, to be good kids. Hmm. Arrogant kids.
Let's look at it this way.
Yeah.
Are there humble people Are there people who don't get into trouble in the UFC that make money?
There are.
Okay. So there's a
room for that. So we got to make that cool. Yeah. We got to make that the new cool. Right. The more humble, right. Not the more arrogant, because with the arrogant behavior is destructive behavior, and it trickles down to all of the negative things that impact the individual, his family, and society. It's a road to destruction. Khabib made a statement, and we love him for that. He said, stay humble. He's talking to the youth, and they had these shirts, God is the greatest.
Mm.
And don't go to the bathroom with those shirts. Yeah. Now, so he says, be humble and stay connected to God. I mean, how can you go wrong doing that?
Number one important, most important for us, stay connected with God.
Stay, beautiful advice. And then he's humbling himself after the fights. He doesn't do like many of the pompous
right.
people. They end up banging chest, on their chest, yeah. chest pump, and yeah. it's like
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
That's the arrogant behavior. He points away, and this again, this is what touches us. This is why many Muslims are looking for that somewhat hero. But our hero is Prophet Muhammad SAW. So, but it's nice to have where your kids somehow, you can connect them back to the deen somehow. Because with all of the evil influences, you got someone's out there that's being a good example in today's age, where it's very, very difficult to find good examples, good role models.
We're looking for good mentors.
So yeah. He's saying, stay connected to your creator. Stay connected to prayer. Look at that youth. He's saying things that are 100% correct in this aspect. And when he humbles himself and he doesn't say, look, it's me. He points up. He did what Jesus did. He did what all the messengers of God did. Prophet Muhammad being the last final messenger, they pointed up. They said that all that love, adoration, and the master that you should serve is not the dollar or yourself or your ego, but the one who created you. And that's what you get,
not
that commonality, when now what Khabib is bringing to the table. And that's all linked back to Islam.
I was just going to say, when you said about serving the master, not even your friends, because that's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did Conor do what he did? To help his friend.
Mm-hmm.
But was that really help? I mean, we have to like analyze this to a deep point, because what happened? Initially, when that incident happened, Conor went to jail, and Dana White issued that Artem was out of the UFC. So how was that helping Artem? Artem was an aspiring UFC fighter, right? So again, I know I'm micro-analyzing this point, but who do we really serve? Do we serve our own ego? Do we serve our desires? We have to look for the right role models and the right mentors. And again, the point is, social media, it has its benefits. It also has its negative connections. And the release of dopamine, we have to be very wary of these instant feelings of gratification, these feelings of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And one important thing that I was going to bring up is that, you know, with the wiring of the mind and with the release of the dopamine, we have to be very wary of technology in general. So one thing that I like about Khabib is the fact that he always praises not only the creator, but he's thankful to the people. He's thankful to his family. We got to connect with our families again. We got to connect with our intimate and close friends. We got to reestablish those good connections that are emphasized even in our religion that we should keep, but even that are very common sense, right? People who are good friends and good family members, and you put them as your support circle around you, it only leads, like, you are who is around you, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a good circle of friends, there's a good likelihood. If you're surrounded by entrepreneurs, valedictorians of universities and high schools, there's a good chance you're going to be either an entrepreneur or a valedictorian or somewhere closer to them.
Yes.
But if you're surrounding yourself with gangsters and thugs and, dare I say, losers, what are you going to be?
You're going to be a loser, and it's easy to be a loser. At the end of the day, you can have all this money and all the fame and all the glitz and the glamour, but at the end, when you leave this life, that's what's going to count. When you're in the grave, and we're all going to be there, and now you transfer from this life, because that's what Match of the Talk is about. The commentator, it's all about, you know, the person's athleticism, and, you know, we're talking beyond that.
Right.
And we talk about the heart, the soul, the mind. These are making a complete, holistic human being. And Conor McGregor, what we give him is advice, and this is important what you said, this is also what you get with Khabib. He honors his parents. His mother and father. I mean, just think about that. When you, as a parent, when you have your children disrespect you, that's like the worst thing, that you breastfed this child, this child, you put him through school, you gave him everything, and that child turns around and gives you an F-bomb. Can you imagine what that does to a parent?
Yeah, I'm sure it breaks their heart.
Gives thanks to his homie friends, his gangster friend, and forgets to thank you as his mother or his father. And this is what we have, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, who said that paradise lies under your mother's feet. Look at that. You know, the disrespect of the parents will get you a ticket to the hellfire. So Khabib is living up to that. That's another great example. And we would give Connor some advice to go ahead and marry this young lady. I mean, because if we follow, again, that example, again, where promiscuity and this lewdness in sexuality, this is the decay of society. You know, Salahuddin Ayyubi, he had a famous quote. He said, if you want to destroy a society, make this promiscuity, this sexual immorality rampant. And that's another contribution to just the break of humanity.
If you really want to save society, look, think of it as smaller circles and then growing to bigger circles. People often focus on the outer part of the circle, which is doing very high level things. But if you don't got the inner part of the circle, which is maintaining the order in the house, right? Mm-hmm. So now I have a household. I have to make sure I'm treating my spouse, my children correctly, and I'm acting just. I have to make sure I'm treating my parents justly. I have to make sure I'm treating my extended family members justly. I have to make sure I'm treating my neighbors justly. I have to make sure I'm treating my community members justly. It's in steps, it's in stages. Now what happens if we do those things? Society's at peace. It's at harmony. No child left behind. People are going to school. People are getting educated. People are being taken care of. But we have these overarching goals and these high ambitions, but the houses are broken. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to start off at stage one, at step one, before you get to the further steps.
Yes.
And again, I think, the last point for me is validation. How do you get your validation? If you're getting your validation like we see he's getting, which is promoting alcohol, swearing, picking fights with people,
violence.
That means if I'm a millennial, if I'm someone who's younger, who's tied to this social media, tied to this technology, that means I'm going to look for validation the same way, because if it works for him, it should work for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people are not making that connection. You try to do that stuff, either you're going to get knocked out or you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
So people got to wake up. People got to realize that they're looking for validation in the wrong places.
Yes.
Look for validation here.
There's a lot that could be talked about. Just that whole industry with the gambling, with the alcohol, with the naked ring girls, all this stuff. This is something antithesis to Islam. We don't support these kind of things. Let's just get this clear. This is something we're talking about because it's part of the norm in the culture. I mean, this is now in almost probably everybody is kind of talking about it, if not the adults, the kids, the young ones. So we want to reach out with a positive message to the millennials.
Mm.
That's the new term for
the age group.
The age group, yeah. And now for the people like Khabib who are out there, they're already doing this. We're not getting this as halal or haram. We know what Islam stands on it. But if you're already, and I like this, I hope that we have some of the same friends, me and Khabib, and we've, because people have been asking me, and I'm getting, I want them to start, because they've been asking, when's Khabib coming on the show, right? So now we're in the talks. I had what we've interpreted as a promise from his manager to have him on the program. But this is something that now we've talked about since you're in the spotlight. And inshallah, the message got to him that now you're doing like what Muhammad Ali did. He used this platform to share the purpose with people, to share the good moral message with the people of this deen. And because Allah don't care, the Creator don't care about your belts.
Yeah.
He don't care about this fight legacy. A person could be 50 and Allah don't care. God don't care about that.
Yep.
But what have you done with the time allocated to you in this dunya, in this world? What have you done with your time to help make this world a better place?
Exactly.
What have you done?
Mm.
This is the thing that we have to reflect. Because that's not going to transfer into the currency, into the next life, of the good deeds that you have to show. It's not. But if you use this platform now, Khabib and others like that, you have it, and the spotlight comes to you, and you say, I'd like to take a time out and thank the Creator of the heavens and earth who gave me this ability. I couldn't throw a punch or a right hand or a hook without this blessing. And he's given me this help, and I'm going to thank him first and foremost. Before the people go down with a list of people, I like to thank my promoter, this person. They forget about the sponsor, right. The one who gave you all the blessings. Don't forget about that. And we love Khabib. because he does that. Continue to do that. And this is very, very important, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had talked about that it's paraphrasing the hadith, how dangerous it is when the people are overpraised. Yes. It kills a person. So keeping it humble, keeping it like he's been keeping it, keep it humble and deflect that attention from you to the Creator, to this deen, and keep moving forward, helping the youth, and not succumbing to many of the temptations that are out there that can destroy the heart, weaken the heart, and kill the human being spiritually.
I can't say it better, but not just inviting Khabib, inviting Conor as
well.
That's
right.
And you know, again, it's up to him. You know, like I, for me personally, people follow what they want to follow, right? But at least, while you're here, spread goodness.
Spread goodness, brother.
Benefit people. You know, no alcohol. Open up schools. Make it easy for people to get educated. Open up training seminars. Open up workshops. Spread goodness. Open up an entrepreneur. He's a successful entrepreneur. Teach people how to become entrepreneurs in a more ethical way, right? So for both of them, you know, hopefully after the fight, they can bury the hatchet. There's no animosity that lingers over. And I'm sure that's going to have to also start with some apologies, because certain things have been said. Mm-hmm. But I truly, for me, I want good for both of them.
Yeah.
Connor's shown me some good signs. He is loyal to his people. He is loyal to his countrymen. But he's got to take it to a more neutral zone.
Yes.
Where the loyalty doesn't come at the expense of disregarding another group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And this is what you have in history. You've seen people who are like that. They were loyal maybe to their tribe, their nationality, to all of these worldly things. But when you are devoted to your Creator, now you have, like Connor, you have, because he doesn't have that moral compass, now you have the moral compass. You sincerely reach out to the Creator of the heavens and earth and say, guide me. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Am I going to just live, die, and just become dust? No, there's another reality that opens up. Just like the child comes out of the womb, it's a whole new reality that opens up. We are going to die, and it's a whole new reality. Mm. You can ignore it, but it's not going to make it go away. A whole new reality is going to come up. But when you have the blueprint, Islam gives the blueprint. It gives us everything we need. So if Connor gets that, I'm sure he could become the best of the best. Your predictions for the fight?
You know, it's tough, man. Connor is a superior striker. He's become a better striker since he was prepping to fight Mayweather. Obviously, we know Khabib is a great grappler. The crazy thing is I like both of them as fighters. I like their styles and their antithesis, their opposites. If Khabib is sloppy like he was in the last fight, and I'm sorry if Khabib is listening, as he mentioned himself, he was watching a lot of Muhammad Ali fights, and he was relaxed, he was very comfortable. But if he charges, and he, you know, his hands are down and his chin is exposed, Conor might put him to sleep. But if he's a little bit patient, and Conor's a little bit overactive, like he said he's going to be. Conor said from the time the bell rings, he's going to go after him. I think Khabib's going to grab him and get him on the ground, and it's going to be a long night.
Yeah.
So I don't. It's not a clear answer, but I don't know.
Yeah. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
And again, we're not prophets. We're not messengers. You know, when Jesus in Mark 13:32, when he was asked of that day or hour, and I'm just making this contrast so you can see what we're talking about. He was asked, when's the day of judgment? He said, no one knows, nor any man but the Creator alone.
Mm.
So we don't know the future. We can have some foresight. And my foresight, ever since Connor, he declared like he's a god, a semi-god.
Any man God made, you know what I mean? And not only that, I'll whoop God as well.
I was thinking, I said, subhanAllah, if Allah, the Creator, raises up Khabib, I can see him bringing someone who's become so arrogant.
Any man God made, you know what I mean? And not only that, I'll whoop God as well.
That he's going to slap him down. Again, we don't know the future, but I'm just saying, you know, this is something that the thoughts that go through our mind.
Mm.
I see potentially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using Khabib to smack someone who's come up so high, so far down. And inshallah, that can be such a blessing if Connor uses it. And then look back at the one who Allah used, Khabib, to smack him so far down from his arrogance. And to inshallah humble him, because when a person is connected to their Creator, right, the fear that Allah will put into their opponents, the strength that you come, when Muhammad Ali was asked, when I spoke with Mirsad Bektic, and he had drifted away from the deen, and then he started to think, and then he compared it to Muhammad Ali, I had played son, Mirsad was like, man, I relate to that, where Muhammad Ali was like, oh, it's because of my abilities, because of this, but then he started praying 5 times a day.
Mm.
He started to connect 100% with Allah, with the Creator. And then he was like, When Allah is with you, there is nothing no man can do to you.
Pray, and at 5 in the morning, this goes on. And when I'm right. Now, I didn't do that for the first Frazier fight, nor the first Norton fight.
Really?
No, sir. My head got big, and I started thinking it was my training camp and my boxing ability that kept me where I was at, and God punished me, and he gave me a good whooping. He broke my jaw in the second fight, and he got me whooped and knocked down in the Frazier fight, and I realized I wasn't that great after all, so I had to get not only together physically, but spiritually. For this fight, I've prayed every day for 5 days, 5 times a day for the past 4 months, and everything is perfect. And if Allah's with me, it ain't no way no man can win. No way.
So when you have the Creator, when you have that resilience, when you have that in you, and if Allah uses, now that he's already in here, and he uses him to humble this person, maybe, again, we don't know, and then maybe, and that's the dua we make, that through this, inshallah, Connor can get guided, and then he sees, like, wow, this... what's this guy about? You know what I mean? He looks back, and again, it connects back to Deen, to Islam.
Islam is perfect. I want to say it like this.
Then he starts to look at the Quran, and from there, all the goodness happens. Inshallah. You know, so this is what is on my mind, and what has been what I've been thinking from it.
In summary, we're hoping for good for both.
That good comes from, yeah.
Yeah.
From both, inshallah.
For both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, inshallah, people can benefit from this little short episode that we did talking about this, and at the end, summing it up, is what they bring to the table. Leave with that. What they bring and what they stand for at the end. What they're bringing. We made a list of things, and now it's on you to contemplate and reflect. And from there, tune in every week to the Deen Show. And if you want, like I've been saying, many people, they've been asking me, when is Khabib? What do you recommend?
Tell them to make it go viral right now.
Go ahead.
It's a hashtag, I don't know what his handle is, but find out Habib's handle, hashtag it, and tell him to come on the Deen Show.
Yeah, you guys been asking me for a long time. Let's see what's up, what's holding up. Some politics over here, but inshallah, we can get, because I keep saying, you've been on every other show, every other dunya show. Why not come on the Deen Show? Deen, what is Deen Show? It's a way of life. It's the Deen. It's Islam. Come on, one of the only Islamic TV talk shows in America. What's your excuse not to come on? I mean, what do you think? That's a fair proposition?
Fair,
huh? And I think those Muslims, the ones who came, who were rooting him on, did you see that?
Yeah,
all of those brothers.
AKA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see they'd be all excited, and the rest of the audience. So inshallah, we'll have him on soon. Inshallah, God willing. And keep saying inshallah, keep connecting it back to Allah. And we hope to see you back here on the Deen Show every week, new show, God willing. Until then, peace be with you. As-salamu alaykum.
Subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.